Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
Good evening and welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. I'm Rob Pritchard, and over the next half hour, we'll be taking the latest look at the upcoming sporting action for the Isle of Man this weekend, coming up tonight. The 2026 Ascot Hotel Junior Cup Final tonight kicks off another important weekend in Isle of Man football as the end of the season looms large, whilst the Isle of Man Women's National Team return to action on home soil this Saturday. Elsewhere, for the first time in more than two decades, the Isle of Man is fielding national rugby sides in a doubleheader of fixtures off Ireland tomorrow. We hear from one of those behind the preparations for this big weekend. And the Isle of Man's initial squad for the 2026 Commonwealth Games in Glasgow has been revealed, and Team Isle of Man's chef de mission explains how excitement is building for the games in the Scottish city. That is all to come this evening. Welcome to Friday Sport Preview here on Manx Radio. The time has just gone 6:31 p.m. Hope you've had a wonderful week so far and plenty to come again this weekend. Turning to football first of all tonight, it is very much the business end of the Isle of Man football season for 25-26. In fact, as it stands, the penultimate weekend of the current campaign, and we have a cup final to kick things off this evening under the floodlights at the Bowl. More cup and league action to come over the weekend on Saturday and Sunday as well. To go through it as all as always is our football correspondent Tony Meppenman. Tony, been playing catch-up a little bit in terms of Manx football, of course, over the last few weeks. So many midweek fixtures to try and counter what was an awful winter for the fixture list. I mean, with only around a week or so of the season to go, how are things looking?
We're getting there, Rob. We've still got a little bit more to do. We've got, as you say, one final on tonight. We've got the Cal Cup semi-final on Monday. Then we've got the final on Thursday. Then we've got the Hospital Cup on a week tomorrow. The 23rd. We've still got to get the Women's FA Cup final in yet, so we'll try and sort that one out. And if we can, we're going to try and squeeze the Paul Henry Gold Cup, but still haven't got the four teams. Till we got that sorted out, Rob, we can't do any draw.
Indeed, and I remember you saying, of course, there are still a couple of teams with, well, I think specifically Morown particularly, have still got several fixtures to play before you can make any particular decision. Actually, just before we turn to the weekend, last night we had one of the tournaments you've already mentioned, the Cowell Cup, the competition from the 21 sides. The quarterfinals took place last night, Tony, and for those who don't have the details, could you just take us through what happened in the Cowell Cup quarterfinals last night?
Yeah, I'll try and remember it off the top of my head, but certainly the one that I watched was two of the top sides, I think. Corinthians against Ramsey up at Ballafletcher, and Ramsey took the lead, but then two late goals for Corinthians. I think there was one on, was it the 76th or 75th minute, something like that, because they play 80 minutes. And then Corinthians basically scored in the last minute. It was Nathan Little who got the first one for Corinthians, and it was Ryan Nelson who got the second one. So great result for them. But, you know, with Ramsey taking the lead, Ben Fox with an absolute belting header into the back of the net. I just thought that was going to be it, but Corinthians clawed it out at the end. Ramsey used centre against Foxdale. Foxdale's first game in the competition, and Ramsey used centre getting through to the semi-final with an 8-0 win. Really strong outfit, and we'll wait and see how they sort of produce against Corinthians with a home tie on Monday. Then the one that sort of caught a few people out was Braddon against Onchan, but I think it's just one of those where we had no choice. We've had to run with the Cal Cup rearranged fixtures and everything else, and I think Onchan sat a few out last night because they're playing tonight, and Onchan got caught out with Braddon winning 5-2, so it was disappointment there. And then Laxey's fixture, and that one was against Governors. This was moved to Laxey. Laxey's first game of the competition, and they came out strong winners as well. So all round, it's probably best. And Laxey, I think it was, as you've just indicated to me, 1-6-2.
8-2. I was trying to do some hand signals across from the desk here, but we got there in the end. Yes, Corinthians, Braddon, Laxey and Ramsey sent an all boys, as Tony was saying, progress to the semi-finals of this year's Cowell Cup competition. That will continue in the coming days. Looking to this weekend then, and the football action starts this evening, Tony, because it is the final of the Ascot Hotel Junior Cup this evening, a 6:45 p.m. kickoff under the floodlights at the Bowl in Douglas, and it's Onchan. They'll be coming up against the Canada Life Combination 1 champions, Ramsey.
Yeah, and it's a tough one to predict this because certainly when you look at Ramsey, I think they're older, more experienced. There's a very young Onchan side in there, but they've got one or two sort of players in there who can offer the experience to the younger players. But You know, Onken have done well, okay. They've not been near the top of the league, really, because that battle was with Ramsey, who won it. Then you've got Corinthians and you've got Peel. Peel came second. So there is hope for Onken, and it just depends on the night, I think, how strong they're going to be. Should be a good crowd. This was moved quite a few months ago, this, Rob, to allow the Ireland women's game to go ahead. So, you know, people are saying, why didn't you play it on the Saturday? That's why. And I just think Ramsey will just be a little bit too strong, but Onken will push them.
Very well. So that's this evening, 6:45 p.m. kickoff at the Bowl, the Ascot Hotel Junior Cup final between Onken and Ramsey. Turning to Saturday, we have one fixture in the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup, the remaining semi-final tie. And Tony, on paper, if we're talking about mismatches, at least on paper, this looks like one of the biggest you could see, because Corinthians, this year's ECAP FA Cup winners, the Railway Cup winners this season, up against the final Division 2 side in the competition, St George's here, taking place at Ballafletcher tomorrow. It's a mountain to climb for St George's, isn't it?
Well, it is, and I think Carl Gartland knows that one, and his players have done him proud, because the improvement from the start of the season, Rob, to at the end has been absolutely fantastic. So well done to the players, and well done to Carl for getting it going. I think he'll bring a couple of jewels out of the crown tomorrow, because I think Sean Quay will probably play, and I think Chris Bass Junior will play, so that'll add a little bit more there. But when you look at where Geordies were, and we all know they all sort of aged together at the same time, but how successful we've been in this competition in Manx football in general up until sort of 4 or 5 years ago. So as you say, you know, Corinthians pretty well full strength. Dan Simpson will be there, Sean Doyle will be there. No Connor Clark, who was absolutely outstanding last night in the Cal Cup game. But Stewie Smith will sit it out. He's suspended, so responsibility at the back for ever-improving Bevan Colley, and also Darren Kane, I would think they'll be the two centre-backs. So it's a big, big ask for St George's, but I've been here before, Rob, and I was listening to you, what you're saying. I think I can't really say too much here because I've seen it happen, and it could happen, but on paper, it should be a Corinthians win, and I think it will be.
Yeah, and St George's, let's not forget as well, defeated the Division 2 champions Colby on the way here.
Well, that's right, and they've beaten Castletown in previous cup competitions as well, so they're quite capable.
Well, that's the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup semi-final. 1 p.m. kickoff games on Saturday are kicking off, so earlier than usual this weekend, so just bear that in mind. So that's Corinthians versus St George's in the Hospital Cup. Three big games in Ardern and Drugger Limited Division 2 this weekend, all 1 o'clock kickoffs as well. Tony, the one that stands out to me particularly this weekend in this crunch battle that continues for the final promotion places between two of those promotion rivals up north, Ramsey Centre and Old Boys against Castletown. And Tony, in this one, if either was to take maximum points over the other, they would dump the other team's promotion dreams completely out of the equation.
Exactly, and I think that's why it's all to play for. Jacob Crooker's been playing for Castletown. I think he scored 3 goals in the last 2 games. So with him in there, it's certainly helping things. Alex Crawley was on the team sheet midweek and scored. And you've got Ross Crawford as well. So there's your strength for Castletown. But Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys, it's a tight old pitch. And when you look at sort of people in there at the moment, at the top of the game, playing really well and scoring plenty of goals, then Ramsey Youth Centre will be looking to see if they can do it. It'd be a big, big ask. I feel that both these teams want to get promoted, and both of them have got the capabilities of doing it. But, you know, team-wise, you know, Ramsey Youth Centre, their players played last night in the Cal Cup, Castletown didn't, so that helps them. So I'm going to go for a narrow victory just to Castletown.
Very well, and the other team still concerned in the promotion, the Division 2 promotion race, I should say, is Moround. So they're currently 8 points off Ramsey Centre and Old Boys in second, but still with 12 points to play for, with 4 games still to come around. They're going to be hosting Governors Athletic.
Yeah, it is, and they've still got some tough games as well, and they're looking for the Paul Henry Gold Cup if they can. But as I say, it's changing by the day. Tuesday it changed, tomorrow I'm sure it'll change again. But you know, Moran had a good result midweek, 8 goals I think it was, and they'll be looking to see if they can capitalise on Governors, who sort of found it tough going last night in the Cal Cup. Not too sure how many players in that team will be playing there tomorrow afternoon, but certainly I think Moran will start off as favourites. And this game, just to remind, will be played at Colby. It's where Governor's home ground is, and they've switched it.
Very well, thanks, Tony. And the other game in Ardern and Drugger Limited Division 2, so Maloo, who have had a real spurt forward, if you like, toward the end of the campaign. They're unbeaten in 5, winning 4 of those, hosting bottom of the table Douglas and District.
Yeah, and I think Douglas and District just want to get the season done, as were with Maloo. What a great finale that they've had in Division 2, to be fair. They've had some real good battles against the top sides, And you can see why when you read the team sheet with the players that are in there. Jordan Krippner, you've also got Kieran Krippner, you've got Paddy Cooper. They're good players, and you know, it's just testament really for Malou when they do have their starting lineup out there. They can compete with the rest, but it's getting there without work commitments and obviously injuries. But against D&D, it's been a torrid season for them. We know how difficult it's been. They lost a few players at the start, but they'll, you know, they'll come through. There's some really good young players coming through who have scored goals, and if you're going to win games, you need to score goals. And
they got their first win in over 2 years, well, only a few weeks ago.
Exactly, young players coming through and scoring as well, so that says it all. And I think you know, certainly D&D next year will be looking to build, but tomorrow I think it's going to be tough against Malou.
All right, so one game, as we said, in the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup semi-finals tomorrow, and then three in our Durnan Drigg Limited Division 2. A reminder, those games getting underway at the earlier time of 1 p.m. tomorrow if you're planning to head down and watch any of those. Looking to Sunday, three games penned in for Sunday. One of those is the remaining semi-final in the Canada Life Women's FA Cup. Corinthians have already booked their place in the final, and meeting them will be either Douglas Royal or Malou, who are due to play on Sunday.
Yeah, and there's still some work being done with that fixture, because there's all sorts of situations. Just all I can say is get on with it, guys. Get the game played. You know, it's important to get the semi-final out of the way, to get the final done. And, you know, we're running out of time here. You know,
I suppose, though, is a factor this weekend that the women's national team are playing. Is that a
factor? Well, not really, no, because both clubs had been asked by myself last week to play the game. Both clubs agreed. The kickoff time was sorted. We've had all sorts of ifs and buts and whens, and you know, yes, there'll be one or two players who play tomorrow, but they can play on Sunday as well. That's not a problem. But we need to get this game done. It's crazy the way that it's been chopping and changing. But you've got to go for, I think, maybe Douglas Royal just to win it, if they've got the strongest team out there, because they've done it well. They've been in a final already at the start of the season in the Floodlit Cup final, and they'll be looking to see if they can capitalise on that again. But if Rosabel Cardi plays for Malou, then you know, she's a great player, can score plenty of goals. So fingers crossed that the game goes ahead.
Okay, so that, as it stands, that's a 2 o'clock kickoff on Sunday in the Canada Life Women's FA Cup semi-finals, Douglas Royal versus Malou. And last but certainly not least, Tony, two games kicking off at 2 o'clock on Sunday in the Masters football.
Yeah, we've got one now, because we've lost the St Mary's game. Air United unable to field a team, so I think that makes St Mary's champions now of the league, because they'll get the walkover. Laxey and Douglas High School Old Boys, it was Old Boys and St Mary's, if you remember, Rob, 7 days ago. Those two teams met, and it was basically winner takes all. Well, they didn't do it. They drew, so we had to get some more games played out of the way. And, you know, Laxey against the Old Boys. You know, Laxey have got some really good players in there, and they'll be waiting to see if they can sort of take the points away from Old Boys, even though it's not going to make much difference.
So one game now in the Masters football this weekend. Thank you, Tony. Well, we mustn't forget, of course, tomorrow afternoon as well, the Alabama women's national team are back in action, and this time on home soil. It'll be their second game in 7 days. They're going to be hosting FC United of Manchester in a friendly at the Bowl in Douglas, 2 o'clock kickoff tomorrow. That is, and Tony, on the women's national team as well, they came up against Preston North End last weekend, two late goals handing them a 4-2 win away at Preston North End, such a historic club, of course, as well. How much of a confidence boost will be that be to the women's team?
Huge, because, you know, I'm not being critical, but some of the teams that the Ireland women's team have played against, it isn't really what they want, but you never know, because the Alaman team is improving, you know, each game, so they're getting stronger and stronger. And obviously the opposition that are coming in, there's been some real big games, but last week was a belting game, and let's just hope tomorrow's is the same, because it's all in preparation for the Cherry Godfrey Cup. It's a big competition now for the women's football, because basically they have the Ireland Games and the Cherry Godfrey Cup, and they won it last time. And this is all about prepping. And when you look, the squad, I've looked at it for tomorrow. It's pretty well near enough the same as last week. There's a couple of changes. But, you know, well done to Wayne, the girls last week. Tremendous performance, and well done to them.
Yeah, and on that squad, just a reminder of what it is, the Alabama women's squad to face FC United of Manchester at the Bowl tomorrow. It's Becky Corkish, Lisa Castain, Millie Dawson, Lulu Bell Finley, Ellie Gorn, Kaylee Greger, Louise Gibbons, Tia Lisi, Stevie Mallon, Lydia Shaw, Caitlin Smith, Holly Stephen, Holly Sumner, Chloe Tier, Pippa Wallace and Sarah Wignall. I mean, if they were to, of course, it is a friendly fixture, so no points or whatever to play for, but going into the Cherry Godfrey Cup, which is just over a month away as well, they may have some training time available to them in between after this game as well. with the consistency, I guess, of the squad selection, Wayne Lisi did sort of allude to this a little bit. That could be crucial going to Guernsey.
Oh, definitely, and that's the problem with sort of the women's football, is those competitive games. But Wayne has got two great friendlies, another one tomorrow, so hopefully they'll win it.
Excellent, Tony. Thank you very much indeed.
Manx Radio Sport, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshediom.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
Well, this weekend sees something happening in Isle of Man rugby that hasn't occurred in more than 20 years. For the first time in more than two decades, the Isle of Man will field national rugby squads for a doubleheader of fixtures taking place off island tomorrow. Two teams, named Isle of Man and Ellen Vannin, will face Warrington, RUFC's first and second teams respectively, across the water on Saturday. Well, one of those behind getting the national teams together is the Isle of Man's rugby development officer, Chris Hattam, who explains how much they're looking forward to seeing players pulling on the Manx jersey after such a long time.
It's exciting. What an opportunity for all of these players going forward. I think there's been a shortfall over the 20 years of players on the Isle of Man who have been outstanding and haven't been provided this opportunity. So for these lads coming in now, they've got an opportunity to build something in terms of what rugby could look like in the future on the Isle of Man and really push the sport forward. Both teams as well, we've got youngsters in there, we've got experienced heads. It's such a wide spread from a number of clubs over here that it's really going to get us moving forward in the right direction.
And just pick on what you said there, there's good representation from all clubs on the Isle of Man, and of course, for those who don't know, obviously the Isle of Man's senior rugby sides compete at various different levels as well, but you know, the fact that so many clubs are getting represented here, how important was that as well?
Oh, it's the opportunity. So for lads that are playing in the local Hartford Holmes Manx Shield, for them to say that they've represented the island and then go back to their clubs and be seen with a higher honour, that will hopefully invigorate the local domestic competition and a lot of young lads coming into that to really try and push on and say, I want to be that player one day that steps on and represents the Isle of Man. There's a lot of pride in being Manx, and that's something that we're definitely aiming to get, especially when the lads go back to their clubs after this.
And particularly, I suppose, for maybe younger or less experienced players coming through, the fact that there are two teams going, you're going to face a Warrington first 15 and a Warrington second 15 as well. For those players who may be wanting to develop a bit more, whether they take it on in the long term or just in the immediate future, to get that experience of maybe playing, let's say, higher level opposition than they would do maybe an occasion on Ireland, for those players in particular, how valuable would that be?
Oh, it's massive. I think when we talk about that, that's what that Ellen Vannin side is definitely for. It's for development. We've got lads in there. There's a long lad, Jonty Shimmin, who's played for the Isle of Man Academy this year. He's a under 18 going into next season, and he's representing that side, so he's probably going to play nine for us. So it's to show lads that there is a pathway on the island. You can come through the academy at a young age all the way through into our senior sides, and then the aims for Jonty from there has to be, I want to be in that Isle of Man side. So the development side of it's massive. We need to make sure that we cater rugby for all and everyone gets their level of competition that they need.
And for both sides, more generally, the fact that you're coming up against opposition that you otherwise wouldn't as well. It is a limited pool that's available on Ireland, particularly for some clubs who don't play in the likes of the English Club Championships, for example. How good an experience will that be for everyone involved to come up against different opposition, a different style maybe, different things tactically?
Yeah, so Warrington play Counties One, so it's one level below Douglas, but they've actually been promoted this season, so they're coming into Douglas's league. What an opportunity for some of those Douglas players to go and see and play against them, as well as, okay, their second team must be really pushing on. Their second team actually won their league this season as well, so the lads in that Ellen Vannin side are really going to have to step their game up and be prepared to see something different. It's a team that nobody's going to know much about. We know that they're probably going to be a bit dominant in the forwards through word of mouth, like through the rugby environment, but it's a good test for all of our lads to go out there, see what we're up against and play some new faces. I'm sure that that's going to be the big point for some of these lads that play local in Ireland. It's a different face.
And for the two games themselves, what are going to be the overall objectives for this trip?
Overall objectives. It has to be, I know it sounds a bit cliche, but we have to go there and win. But I think it's turning around to the lads and saying, this is an opportunity that hasn't been provided to players over here for such a long time. It's your team. How do you want to drive it forward? Where do you want this to go? Positiveness will come off the back of it, I'm sure. I'm confident in the lads that will go out there and get the result that we need. But I think it's the off-field stuff as well, like starting to create history for Isle of Man rugby and getting us back on the map again and really driving forward.
And looking ahead more into the long term as well. So for these teams specifically going forward, What's the long-term objective after this weekend? What would you like to see maybe in the months and years to come?
Yeah, I think I'd like to see our monthly training sessions still go ahead. So once a month, all the players on the Isle of Man, welcome to an open training session, really get everyone mixing in, playing together, and developing knowledge from players that may be a bit more experienced into some of those young lads coming through. I think as a seven-year plan, ideally we want to be up against Guernsey and Jersey in the next 7 years. They play, what, National 2, two levels above where Douglas are now. That has to be an aim, so that, and I think it's an attainable aim as well for us to go there and put on a game that historically has happened. That's where we need to be back up again.
There's no two ways to put it, really. The Isle of Man rugby scene has faced challenges over the years. A much more limited pool, particularly if you compare it to, say, jurisdictions nearby in the likes of Lancashire, Cumbria, Merseyside, etc. Do you think having a national setup, this almost showcase event, like you say, putting the Isle of Man on the map a little bit, might show more people about just getting involved in rugby more generally as well with your local club on the island?
Yeah, 100%. I think that's where it all has to start off, doesn't it? You want to be down playing local rugby to then be able to aspire to go further, realising that, okay, I'm in my squad and probably one of the better players, and knowing that if there is this, well, there will be this Isle of Man team at the end of every year, it means you're probably going to want to play better every game that you get out there for. You're going to want to turn out for your team even more, and it's going to give people something to aspire to. It sits wider than just rugby on the Isle of Man, or wider than just clubs. It's that next level. People are really proud to be Manx, so I'm sure that when the lads go out on Saturday and they pull on that three legs, they're going to be brimming with pride ear to ear.
That was the Isle of Man's rugby development officer, Chris Hattam, ahead of two Isle of Man national rugby teams taking to the field for the first time in more than 20 years tomorrow. So in Saturday's doubleheader, the Ellen Vannin team will be up first against Warrington RUFC's second 15 at 1 p.m. before the Isle of Man team takes on Warrington RUFC's first 15 at 3 p.m.
Manx Radio Sport, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshediom.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
Finally tonight, the Isle of Man has unveiled its initial squad, which will compete at the 2026 Commonwealth Games in Glasgow. 22 athletes have been selected to fly the Manx flag in the Scottish city across late July and early August, with hopes that several more Ireland competitors could be chosen in the coming weeks. Well, Team Isle of Man chef de mission Erica Bellhouse says excitement for the Games is now building, with the event just over 2 months away.
Yeah, extremely excited. We gave a little bit more time in the selection process just to give athletes a little bit more time to get standards in place, etc. But yeah, really excited that we've got a bit of balance there. We've given them time, but now they've got time. We've released the squad and they've got time to prepare. So yeah, really excited and looking forward to July.
And the fact as well, we've covered this previously when the preparations are going on, that the Isle of Man still has a pretty sizable allocation given it is a scaled down Games in Glasgow this year. What do you think it says about the Isle of Man and its place in the Commonwealth Games?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of our strengths, that, you know, our previous successes have allowed us to consolidate and build, and even with the scaled down Games, it really, you know, it shows that we've got 22 athletes being announced. We've got another three-ish athletes, hopefully, that we're going to be able to release in the next couple of weeks. We're just still ironing out a few admin issues. So actually, this isn't our final squad. We're hoping that we're going to be able to add to it further. So yeah, it just really show how strong the Isle of Man is.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you say as well, there are still potential other names to come once certain administrative procedures have been completed. But looking through plenty of the names here, I mean, you look at in the likes of athletics, Sarah Astin, Ollie Lockley, David Malarkey, in cycling, Matt Bostock and Ben Swift. In swimming as well, you've got UK and international appearances, if you like, as well. So it's not just the fact that the quantity of athletes the Isle of Man can put forward. How excited are you about the quality the Isle of Man can take?
Absolutely. I mean, when you look at that list, you've named some of the stats, the sort of names that stand out. Also, Alfie Bazance, who, that's a slightly different route that people may not be aware of, but he's achieved a bipartite place. So that is outside of our normal allocation. Just, he is really sort of shooting the lights out on the global stage right now. So to see him earn that place through the bipartite system shows, you know, what a good job he's doing. So yeah, we've got some real standout names, you know, hoping for some big results in the pool. The Velodrome, fantastic to see Matt and Ben coming to fly the Manx flag. And like you say, we've also got athletics, bowls, gymnastics. It's going to be exciting, really exciting.
And looking at some of those names on there as well, particularly in the swimming squad, some of these will be making their Commonwealth Games debut this year as well. Just how exciting a prospect is that for these young athletes?
Yeah, absolutely. They're, you know, like you've touched on swimming, it is more of a development squad there. And this is all about developing things, going, experiencing what the games is like, because it is, you know, like nothing else really. So a lot of these, all those names will have done Island Games, but it is a step up to that next level to experience Commonwealth Games.
And also in gymnastics, another young name in there is all Harry Ayres, who excelled during the recent International Island Games in Orkney last summer as well. So for another young athlete coming into a big stage like that, that must be a great prospect.
Yeah, absolutely. And we haven't had a male gymnast for a number of games now. So to see that pathway and hopefully inspire other young male gymnasts on the island, along with all the other sports, you know, that's part of what this is about, is inspiring the next generation as well. So it's great to see the likes of Harry, Alfie, and all those other names, hopefully really, you know, flying the flag for the Isle of Man.
Not just for the athletes, of course, but for you yourselves as team officials and organisers, of course. Over the last couple of years, as we've spoken of previously, there's been so many unknowns and different hurdles to have to overcome with how interchangeable these games have been. So how good does it make you all feel to be able to take it to that next step, a bit more clarity and a bit more certainty ahead of Glasgow?
Yeah, absolutely. This has been one of the big things, you know, that obviously we saw the last minute change of country hosting the games to the slightly different sports being involved. And it has been, along the way, there's been some little bits of disappointment, I can't lie. You know, the sports that haven't been included that expected to be, that's difficult. You know, it's difficult for athletes, especially sort of 2-3 years into the cycle, to realise their event isn't going to feature. It's not easy, and it's not been easy to manage. And, you know, my heart goes out to those athletes that, you know, were targeting this Games only to find completely outside of their control. It's, you know, their event or their sport hasn't featured. But now the focus has to be on those that are featuring. This is a build, you know, the next Games 2030 in India. I'm hoping that all those sports will be back, and I hope that all those sports get behind this team so that, you know, and build for the next Games as well. So it's really important.
And for the long term for some of these athletes, and I know you've sort of mentioned it with regards to Alfie, the young para powerlifter, who's going to be coming in for these Games as well. But what could this do for their long-term development should they wish to progress in their sports further? Of course, there are bigger events like the Olympics and Paralympics coming up in 2028. Now, certainly don't want to put any pressure on any of the athletes, but what can this sort of event do as a stepping stone for those that want to maybe pursue things further in future?
Oh, well, absolutely. That's exactly, you know, the pathway that the Isle of Man has is just phenomenal, you know, from local grassroots sport through to then being able to compete in the UK at kind of regional, national level. But then to be able to go that one step further, I do believe the Island Games has a massive part to play in that, because it allows, you know, sort of that balance between participation and performance, and then we go to the next level. So the Commonwealth Games really is the pinnacle of the performance sport with your Isle of Man vest on, but then it allows people to catapult. You know, we've seen the success in cycling, you know, and across all of the sports. And it's, you know, certainly you mentioned Alfie. My understanding is Alfie is on the para pathway towards the Olympics, and I hope that we can provide some support in that pathway to him, and only provide positive experience that he can hopefully take forward along with all of the other athletes.
Team Isle of Man chef de mission Erica Bailhouse there on the initial Commonwealth Games squad for the Isle of Man this year. That's all we have time for this week. Many thanks to our guests as always. Have a wonderful Friday and a wonderful weekend as well. Friday Sport Preview now takes a break until Friday the 10th of June. We'll be back then. But until next time, bye for now.
Manx Radio Sport, brought to you by The Printshed. Visit theprintshediom.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.